If you really know me, I'm a keeper of time. I've always been a keeper of time. My job depended on my watch, and I had a certain place I had to be at a certain time, and I could not be there. And so, if you will look at your watch, you will know that it is 11:25. And I also know that most ministers do not get in the pulpit till 11:30. Well, guess what? Y'all get out 5 minutes earlier than you would have anyway. So thank the Lord for the 5 minutes. I was also told a long time ago by Mr. Lamb, and I hope there's still enough that remember Mr. Lamb. And I remember one time the minister didn't show up, whatever. Mr. Lamb had to have a lesson or a talk. And after the talk, I told Mr. Lamb just what a good job he did. I mean, on the spur of the moment, this, that, and the other. And I just become a young elder at the time. He said, "Jimmy, one of these days it's going to be your turn, and it's going to happen to you." And so I always live by that. And I remember in session, I would always tell the guys in session, "You better be prepared, because one of these days it is you." And so today, it is me. And Mr. Lamb also told me, he said, "Jimmy, people don't like to go past 12. Now, there's some that do. They'll tell you they don't care if it's 3, 4 o'clock, but they might not be telling you all the truth. And prepare for 15 minutes. And then if you go over to 20, it's not bad. Don't plan for 30 and go over to 40. They won't ask you back." So I have planned for 15, and you will get out early. And so I'd like for you to listen to what I have prepared. And I chose Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. "And Jesus went throughout the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom." And listen to this. "And healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into his harvest.'" For the next few minutes, I'd like to speak to you about harvest. This is a time of harvest. Our farmers have planted their crops. They have watered their crops. They have prayed over their crops. And they waited for a bountiful harvest. They waited for this day. This is a noble task. But I want to speak to you about a more noble task, the task of the harvest of the lost. The Lord has made each and every one of us farmers, not of fields of corn, nor of fields of grain, but harvesters to go into the world each and every day and proclaim that the kingdom of our Lord and Savior is at hand. We are farmers. I just read you verse 35 through 38. But what about the rest of chapter 9? Because the rest of chapter 9 deals with this harvest in a way. And Jesus is showing the people that would become his disciples what they are to do. He put into practice his words in verse 36. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. In the rest of the chapter, Jesus will heal a paraplegic. Jesus will call Matthew, the tax collector, the writer of our book today. He answers a question on fasting. He heals a woman. He restores life to a little girl. Jesus heals two blind men. He heals a man that is unable to speak. Even before he talks about the shortage of the workers for the harvest of the lost, Jesus' words had actions. But let's return to the harvest. We, the church, have been given a clear mission to make disciples of men. If we're going to accomplish that mission, then we must be led by the Holy Spirit through prayer, like that is found in our scripture today. A point I'd like to make is we should pray with proper motivation. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Although the scribes and the Pharisees were supposed to look after these people, they were their spiritual shepherds. The Pharisees and the scribes were uncaring, unloving, and they burdened the people with other things, other laws that they had to keep. The Pharisees and the scribes couldn't even keep the law, but they burdened the people. And Jesus saw that. He had compassion. They were sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus recognized this. Just as Jesus had compassion for those around him, this same compassion is what compels us to pray for the lost and then proclaim the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ, whether today, tomorrow, or for as long as we are given breath to breathe, we are to proclaim Jesus Christ. Now, we will only have compassion for the lost, or love for the lost, when we see them the way that Jesus saw them, as blind to their true spiritual condition. That's in 2 Corinthians 4th chapter and 4th verse. We must pray with compassion for the lost. Pray with never ceasing prayers. Pray. Secondly, pray with proper understanding of the needs. Verse 35 and 7. Verse 35 serves as a summary of Jesus' ministry. I want you to notice that up until this point, Jesus was the only one involved in his ministry. His disciples only had been spectators, onlookers. In Matthew chapter 10, this will all change. And I will hopefully get to that point. This is where Jesus calls his disciples. It is where Jesus sends them out into the world. Although Jesus is fully divine, he was also fully human, fully man. He could only be in one place at one time. He could not physically meet all the needs by himself. This is what Jesus' words in verse 37. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, the workers, are few. If you'll consider for a moment, up until this point, there'd only been one worker, and that was Jesus. After more than 2,000 years, things haven't changed much. Harvest is still plentiful, and the workers are still few. God has given us a great opportunity to be workers, workers to share the great commission of his love for us and workers sharing the good news of Jesus Christ for the lost. I'll ask you this. Someone shared the good news with you and with me. Should we not share it? Third point, pray for the goal. What is the goal? Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. What's the goal? The goal is more workers being sent into the harvest fields to witness to the loss and suffering of this world, of our community, and that they too will become disciples of Jesus Christ. The word pray here basically means we're to ask. And this word you might not like. We're to beg. We're to ask. We're to beg the Lord to drive out, to send out more workers into the harvest fields for the lost. Now I'm going to read you part of chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10. And it's his instructions to his disciples. And he called them his 12 disciples. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease. So Jesus Christ equipped his disciples to go into the world. And Christ equips us each and every day. The names of the 12 disciples are these. You'll notice there's two sets of brothers, okay? First, Simon is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. James and John would be called the sons of thunder. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, and Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 disciples whom Jesus sent out, and these are his instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's where the disciples went. They went to the Jews. Did not come to the Gentiles, nor the Samaritans. That was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's instruction to them. And he says, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These men, with the exception of John, who died on the Isle of Patmos, would all be martyred. They would lose their head. They would be crucified. They were put in a pot of oil and killed, according to Christian tradition. Now, if you ever hear me say Christian tradition, I'm telling you that's what's according to the tradition of the Christendom. It's not scripture because I can't read it to you out of scripture. But they all were martyred and gave their lives in service to our Lord and Savior. But guess what? God did not forget us either. The Gentiles, the Samaritans, or the rest of humanity. It's recorded in the book of Acts in chapter 22, verse 17 through 21. Now Paul's speaking here. When I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple. I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me, about Christ. Then in verse 21, and he said to me, go far, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Paul, Timothy, Silas. They went. God had a plan for every, all his disciples and for those that would follow him, to where to go to tell the gospel, to preach the gospel, to be workers in his harvest fields. Some workers are sent to the Jewish harvest fields, as the apostles were. Then there was Paul, and he was sent to the Gentiles. But Jesus is sending you and I out each and every day to work in his harvest fields. We are to plant, we are to water, and we are to nurture God's harvest. To tell those that we come into contact with about Jesus and about his saving faith, and that he loves them. You know, it's not hard to say love. It's really not. You just need to practice it. The more you practice it, the better it gets. That he loves them, and tell them that he is their Lord and Savior. Our job is to tell them. Tell them that Jesus is the great harvester. We are his workers. God will do the harvesting. We're workers. We are to plant, we are to water, and we're to nurture. Jesus is sending you and I into his harvest fields to be his laborers, his workers, in his fields of harvest. We are working and proclaiming the gospel. The gospel just means good news to the lost. Is it explained to me? And has it been explained to you? All we have to do is go. Verse 37. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." May you and I, be the laborers in God's harvest fields. Amen. Let's pray. Dear precious Savior, when we leave this place today, may we not forget that we are to be laborers in your harvest field for the lost. We are not to forget that it is our job to plant, to water, and to nurture your people, knowing full well at the appointed time you will be the great harvester. And these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
If you would, let's open our hymnals to Mr. Wager's favorite hymn. Let's sing all four stanzas of the hymn, "Rescue the Perishing." Stand if you will.